Steelers pants were trending on Twitter tonight.
Pray not the time or place, Michael. Thank you, Walker.
There you go. Work being performed. Reporter asked the question everybody was wanting to know because it was trending all over Twitter, Kevin Barker, that Walker Buehler's pants were too tight. I mean, you could see it, for God's sake. Shoot, it was barely over his ankles. And Walker Buehler handled it exactly the way I would. Now, we got to get to the bottom of this. By the way, it is Baseball Central. Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker at the bottom. Sorry, that's horrible. You probably know by now that my Tampa Bay Rays are on the verge of sweeping the Houston Astros right out of the playoffs and into the dustbin of history.
You're going to be an awful human if they go to the World Series. Truly are not going to be able – nobody's going to be able to work with you.
And, of course, the Atlanta Braves. Alex Anthopoulos' Atlanta Braves.
Genius.
Yeah, it's pretty – They beat the Dodgers last night. I got to tell you this. I'm not a fan of Dave Roberts as a manager, although I think with Dave Roberts, you got the same thing working with Charlie Montoyo. How much is the stuff that goes on is him doing something? How much of it is his front office doing something? But, I mean, I couldn't believe the grief he was taking on social media last night. We'll talk about that later. I got to get the Walker Buehler's pants. Now, if you watch the game, basically Walker Buehler's pants looked like, you know, I mean, somebody should have stuck a pole in the center of the in the center of the pitcher's mound. You know, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, Walker. I mean, let's face it, Barks. They were a little form fitting. Now, I don't think it's that big a deal. I think he put on somebody else's pants. And before you roll your eyes at me, stuff like that happens, Barker. Well, you did that one time. You put someone else's pants on.
That's only because he was raking and I wasn't, and I tried anything to get to the big leagues, and I would wear his pants or your pants.
Were they washed first?
Oh, yeah. They were hanging in his locker. I just walked up and took them because I was bigger than he was.
Okay.
And I'd been to AAA longer, so that's what you can do.
But they fit at least, right? Like, they fit at least.
They were short.
Oh, they were short,
too. So I just pulled them up a little. You know, instead of having at the knees, and not all the way down, it was like calf.
But the fellas were comfortable for the most part. It wasn't that tight.
Not really.
The fellas are most comfortable?
Yeah, yeah.
The fellas
matters.
Are comfortable.
Sure.
Okay, that's true. Because I mean, look. Anyhow.
And you know what last night, too, was a little odd, was he was wearing ankle socks. That's just not right either. That's why I think your theory about him putting somebody else's pants on by accident makes sense.
And I'll tell you why I thought this. I mean, first of all, he was the Knights pitcher. So he probably wasn't out shagging or anything. He probably just rolled in, sat around, had some coffee, played some cards, watched some video, and just kind of had his tunes on and just reached up to somebody's, you know, and put them on. And then, and you know what? I got to tell you, I'm sure he had so much on his mind at that point in time. The pants feeling a little snug may not have.
Odd.
Well, it is weird. I guess I have no idea. But I think he put somebody else's pants on. It's that simple. Or unless they shrunk all his pants.
And they were about 4 inches too short.
They were short.
Because it's the ankle sock is something he does all the time. It's obvious. It's not something he's going to.
Somebody's reaching out.
That's Travis. He obviously got us a guest. But that's
not that very much.
That's obviously something he does all the time. It's the ankle sock. So, you know, I'm with you. I think he put Kiki Hernandez's pants on. That's the only guy that you would think that, you know, maybe he has a locker beside his because they're veterans and they've been around a little bit longer. And, you know, Kiki's one of those funny guys you want to be hanging out with and, you know, clubhouse. And Walker's not a guy that plays every day. So, you know, he's poking fun and I want to be beside his locker. And then, you know, the club he probably forgot and put the pants in the wrong locker.
Sure,
and,
that happened.
You know, he wasn't looking at the number on the pant. He just reached up, put the pant on, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, this is a lot.
They'll stretch.
Why is it short? And then it was too late.
But then it's too exactly.
It's too late. It's too late that you figured it out, and that's why, you know.
And then you're out in the mound, you're going, oh, man.
This is different.
This is different.
Why is this? Yeah, because, you know, I was thinking when I was watching, maybe this is what he does all the time. And then I went back and looked at a couple of videos of him, like, seven starts before that.
Nah.
And his pants looked a little bit longer. Now, he wears tight pants because, you know, he's a big weightlifter. Like, he likes to squat, and maybe he likes to show that off. But I think that was showing off a little bit too much.
There was a member of the Toronto Blue Jays who used to always ask his teammates, look at my ass. How's my ass look? Before he went out in the field. Every game. How's my ass look? Every game. I'm not saying who it was. I'll give you a little bit. And he played for the Montreal Expos too. And the dude was jacked. I mean, he was cut. But hey, how's my ass? How's my ass look?
That was he was talking about me there.
No, he asked his play. He asked his teammates every game about that. Guys told me he used to drive him nuts. Yeah, but he did.
I used to do that too.
What?
I didn't play a lot. Anyway. Yeah.
See, we never did.
That did not hurt his pitching last night. Listen, the one thing you can notice is how small he looks on the mound.
Yeah.
And how much life his fastball. Like that last 5 feet, when it hits the dirt, goes from grass to dirt, that little last 5 feet is just, it's almost like the catcher moves backwards a little. It's amazing how his fastball looks, and then that secondary pitch.
You know what else could have happened,
tremendous stuff.
You know what else? If his, he's got blisters. It could have been so
index
painful.
Finger and his middle
so
finger painful. And his middle finger.
Is that the finger he has blisters
on? That's one's got
that one's
bad
one,
issues.
Is it?
That's it.
Andrew, is this the finger he has blisters on? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the one.
No, but all kidding aside, if your fingers are sore, the last thing you want to do is be ripping tight pants off. So maybe what happened, it was so uncomfortable getting it on, and he's looking at his blisters.
All
and
right, that's a bit too far.
And he's going, I'm not. What are you going to do, ask a teammate to pull him off?
Well, you probably wouldn't do that, but that's a bit much. But look, when you have two blisters and you're throwing that hard and the ball moves that much, you know, I would assume with those blisters you'd have a little bit of issue with how much it breaks. But location-wise, he had none of that. Like he's a really good pitcher. You know, if he can ever get the blister thing figured out, the Dodgers have something special for a lot of years to come.
Tim and Sid are already on top of it. They got their match game today. Is Walker Buehler's pants are as tight as Walker, I mean, I'm surprised you didn't say his pants were as tight as my wallet at a cigar bar.
I mean, it's obvious. I don't need to say things that are obvious.
We need to talk about Clayton Kershaw. He has been scratched from tonight's game with back spasms. I went back and looked, and I mean, the postseason, there's always drama around Clayton Kershaw. I think back spasms are something new. Kevin, I know there are fans out there going, no, Clayton Kershaw, this is easy, easy 2-0 for the Braves. Folks, the guy that's pitching is filthy.
Gonsolin.
He is filthy.
Yeah, the fastball split thing that he has is, you know, he's got about a strikeout an inning on the year. He attacks. Now, he's probably going to be an opener. I would assume he'll go five or six batters, somewhere in that range, depending on how, you know, how he looks and how the life is and how efficient he is and that kind of thing. And then he'll probably turn it over to a long relief guy, whoever that may be. But if you're a Braves guy, you might want a Kershaw instead of this guy. Clayton, I told you the little thing I did on Instagram trying to act like him, do what he does with all the stuff in his windup, just as high as he lifts his leg, when he straightens his leg from that high leg kick, where his hand goes with the ball in it, as far down as it goes, how much pressure that puts on your back, I can understand it. I mean, this is an issue he'll have forever. Like, and the breaking ball, how far it comes out of his fingers, up the slider, how hard and much spin he wants to get on that, the fastball that, you know, he seems to be throwing harder now, just the pressure his windup puts on him. And how much longer can he do it? That's the question I would ask him. How much longer can he be good? He's been great in the playoffs. Let's face it. We can say it any way you want to. Hasn't been great. He has almost not even been good. You know, he's a great regular season pitcher who's been when it matters. So that's. But I'll have to say, you know, in the offseason, would he change this? Well, can he do something different to be better? Because the 60-game season helped him, right? You would have think coming into the playoffs, he's fresh. He's going to give you every bullet he has. Mm-hmm. But now this. So that'd be a big question in the offseason. What's going to happen to him?
We got the replay of last night's Braves-Dodgers game. Barks, those are tight. Jesus, those are, it's like Lululemon made his pants.
Yeah, they're short too, but the secondary pitches he has.
Bringing it back to baseball.
Well, you can get a little bit too much with the pants. We'll poke our fun. They're short, they're tight. Get over it. His stuff is unbelievable.
You're just worried about where I could take that conversation.
Stop it quickly. This is a family show.
Yeah.
Well, for the most part.
About that. Never been a family show. But
family
anyhow.
Show. Freddie Freeman did something. He hit a homer.
Yep.
Marcell Ozuna. Listen, the bat he threw out in late in the game against Trinan. You go 0-2 to 3-2 and you battle. That I've been talking about this with the Blue Jays all year, needing that guy. That guy, when it matters, to get the big hit. That is a run producer.
The problem
Marcel
is he can't.
Zuna is a run producer.
The problem is he can't play in the field.
Who cares? Like, who cares?
There's no
perfect players.
Yeah, well,
there's really not.
Yeah, but the Jays have cornered the market on guys who are so imperfect that they can't play the outfield.
I'm not saying Marcel's the guy that the Blue Jays go after. Right. I'm just saying that's what they need. A guy like that.
How happy do you think he was when Major League Baseball announced that they were going to have the DH in the National League, and they're going to do it again next year, folks. They're not taking out.
Let's hope so.
They're not taking it out.
I don't need to see any pitchers hitting.
Walker Buehler? Can you imagine Walker Buehler run to first base of those things?
Splitting his pants. Are you done? Is that the last one? Is that good? Well, with Max Fried throwing last night, he's probably not going to run far. Max Fried's really good.
So the Braves, a 4-run ninth, and obviously Dave Roberts. Look. Having Kenley Jansen as your closer means you are always going to be under the gun.
Anymore.
No, but I'm saying having him on your staff means people are always. If you go through a game like that, you don't use Kenley Jansen, people are going to second guess you. If you do use him in a game like that and it blows up on you, people are going to second guess you. Look, I'm not a big Dave Roberts fan. I like the way he managed that game. Gratterall is his best reliever. And he used him when he needed him.
Yeah, sixth inning, first to second, nobody out.
If Kevin Cash did that, we'd be saying, oh, what a genius thing to do. What a genius thing to do.
They've done it all year. It's the Rays way.
So
raise up.
I don't have an issue with what Dave Roberts did there.
So where are you getting this from? Like the people,
social media.
I've said that to use Kenley Jansen more.
They're pointing out that anytime Dave Roberts does anything late in the game, it basically doesn't work out. But my point is,
you'd rather see. They would rather see 88 that's not cutting.
Yeah, because
than trying and throwing 98. And Austin
pretty
Riley
much.
Just beat him. Every once in a while, you got to tip your hat to the hitter. Every once in a while, no. Like, he went to Gratterall 100 miles an hour. Dustin May 101 miles an hour.
I got no problem.
Blake Treinen 98 miles an hour. Jake McGee 97 miles an hour.
That was pretty good.
You want him to use the other guy that throws 88? Stop cutting. Like I'd score more runs. Like you got the best offense in baseball, quote unquote. Supposedly, I mean Bray's pretty good. Like these are, you know, the lineups are based on home runs now. These pitchers that these lineups are facing, you can't string together two or three hits. I mean, hopefully you get a walk. Hopefully, you know, guy comes in overthrowing, can't find command of the fastball, you know, likes to spin it. Maybe you get a hanger. You know, these hangers, Kiki Hernandez, you saw it yesterday, 0-2 hangers.
Yeah.
I could hit the hanger. I mean, I'm 45. I could hit the hanger. I couldn't hit a located fastball in, but I could hit the hanger right now, today. So this is what you're hoping if you're these lineups. You're not hoping to string together three or four hits. It's just not going to happen. People need to stop complaining about it. It's just not going to happen. The home run is what the home run is. You're hoping to get a walk, a bloop, and somebody run into one. It's 3-0. That kind of thing. Sort of like the Rays. So that's the kind of games you're watching. If you like baseball this way, then tune in. If you don't, what else can you watch?
590-590 is a text line. Dave Wills, the radio voice, the Rays will join us.
Oh, aren't you happy?
Rays up.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. Rays aren't fun to watch.
Oh,
like,
they are.
I'm a huge baseball fan. Like, I'll watch. I will muscle through most baseball games. They are not.
They are one of the best teams I have ever seen.
That's not mean they're fun.
They are one of the best teams I've ever seen.
I guess.
Ever seen.
They have the best pitching staff. They probably have the best pitching staff you've ever seen as a whole. One through however many they got. That's what they probably are. Other than that, you know, listen, Brandon Lau, where are you at? Like, what happened?
Doesn't matter because you got Manuel Margot, baby.
Of course you do.
It doesn't matter. You got all these guys. I mean, this is a classic example of the Rays don't have one player. Leave aside the pitchers for a minute.
Yeah.
They don't have one player, I don't think, that could move out a player on a good team. Like, if you go position by position, Willie Adames is okay defensively. He can't hit. Brandon Lau, he might be the guy. Randy Arozarena, who knows? But you go around there. Kevin Kiermaier, there's a lot of teams none of these guys are starting for.
Nope.
But combined, they're better than any team out there.
No, again, you're missing it.
Pitching and defense.
It's not even close, well, Jeff.
Let's give the defense
The lineups that face these pitchers are like, yeah, how do you even attack that? And then you add shadows. Then you add bright, dark, bright, dark.
Yeah.
Like,
Interesting tonight because it's a primetime game, so there won't be any shadows. But they're going to have Tyler Glasnow. Don't need no shadows. He's going to be throwing 102.
I think he's pitching game 4.
Or is he pitching game 4?
The lefty's pitching today. The lefty that always pitches against the Blue Jays.
God, I got a brain fart.
Me too.
Brain fart.
Wait, I got it right here.
Anyhow.
Everybody's yelling at the...
Andrew, tell us, who is it? You don't know either.
Yeah, I got it right here. It's Yarbrough.
Oh, Yarbrough. Okay, so
Ryan.
So they're going to have an opener.
No, I mean, he's not an opener.
No, but they're going to go with an opener and then bring Yarbrough in.
He's like Max Fried.
They're going to go with an opener and then bring Yarbrough in to do bulk, aren't they?
No, I think he's starting. All right, I think he's going as 2-0, Jeff. They're up 2-0. Well, I mean, you'd be the first guy I would think moonwalking in here going, the Rays are up 2-0. Like,
I don't take
the worst two games to watch in baseball.
No, they weren't.
They literally are. Like,
no,
the last
weren't.
2 days.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't.
Rob Manfred is like, oh.
No, they weren't. Got to ask you about this at bat last night. It is the top of the sixth, and Darno singles, Albus singles. The Dodgers make a pitching change. All right. Walker Buehler comes out. Brusdar Graterol comes in.
Say that three times really fast.
Brusdar Graterol. Anyhow, Dansby Swanson swings at a first pitch slider. Pops up to second base.
Yeah, it's 100. That dude throws 100 with a nasty secondary pitch.
But okay, I was going to ask you this, though.
It's a no-brainer.
You're not gonna hit a slider, though.
And you have a rookie on deck circle who
all right.
is coming in because a guy got hurt.
No, but I'm talking about the hitter's point of view. Why would, if you're the hitter, you swinging at that slider?
Because I don't want to get to the secondary pitch.
Fair enough. Well, it was a secondary pitch.
What was it?
It was a slider. It was 89 miles.
I looked up out over the plate, again, he looked to me like he was trying to hit the heater, maybe a little out in front of a secondary pitch, trying to put a good swing on it. Yeah, these guys that come in out of the bullpen throw hard. You're not trying to get to secondary pitch.
I know.
And you're not trying to get late in counts.
I'm just wondering why you'd swing at a slider.
Marquise Grissom always used to tell me the best pitch to hit with runners in scoring position is what, Jeff?
First pitch. Except when it's an 89-mile-an-hour slide. That surprised me. Because I know if I'm Dansby Swanson, I can crush a fastball.
He's not a great hitter anyway. Yeah, you know, you're trying to guess along and get something out over the plate that you can hit hard, get barrel to baseball. Probably don't try to get
it. It was a good pitch, by the way, too.
Yeah, it's like one of those, sometimes you guess wrong, sometimes you guess right.
He's filthy. Graterol?
For some reason or the other, I thought it was a fastball.
Wow. No, it was 89. But he's filthy.
Yeah, this is why. I can't really understand why people were complaining on social media. That's why you don't tune into social media. Well, okay, Kevin Cash brought in Aaron Loop yesterday. How many Rays fans you think were going, what?
Yeah,
Aaron Loop?
I know I was.
Did it work? Yeah, you got two outs. You bring somebody else in that throws hard. As many times as these managers are going to these bullpen guys, sooner or later, one of them is not going to be any good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. That's why you need starting pitching that's halfway decent in the playoffs, going to give you at least six innings. And then it makes your decisions that much easier because, you know, they got three or four guys that they want to go to, high-leverage guys.
So let me give you the schedule for today, 6:05 p.m. Eastern time. The Braves and the Dodgers, the Braves leading that series 1-0. 8:40 Eastern time. This game will be on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It'll be the Tampa Bay Rays against the Astros. Jose Urquidy on the mound for the Astros. Ryan Yarbrough for Tampa Bay. The Rays up 2-0 in that particular series. As I mentioned, we will have Dave Willis, the radio voice of the Tampa Bay Rays, in a few minutes. And as always, 590-590 is the text line. Questions for Kevin Barker. Somebody has already guessed in my tight pants thing that it was Brad Fulmer. Nope. The process of elimination, folks, make it pretty easy. But anyhow, it was not
Josh Towers.
No, I said pitched. I said played for the Blue Jays, and he didn't.
It's a good guess.
Blue Jays and Expos. No, Josh Towers.
Oh, Expos. She
said that too.
Oh,
gave it away. 59590 is the text line. It is Baseball Central, the tight pants edition. On Sportsnet 590, the fan. 590-590 is the text line. A little bit of news here. According to folks on the scene, Clayton Kershaw is doing, they call his dry work in the bullpen at Globe Life Field, which is basically just, like, with towel and all that stuff like that. Andy McCullough, who covers the Dodgers, says, for context, Kershaw throws dry a day before he starts usually. So that would suggest that Clayton Kershaw might be pitching tomorrow or game four. If you missed it, Clayton Kershaw has been scratched from tonight's start with back spasms. And Tony Gonsolin will go for him. What are they looking at here? Jeff and Kevin, big fan of y'all.
Thanks. Yeah,
that would mean that you're a fan of Barker's. I would never use that.
You say that all the time. I never say y'all.
Tim from North York says, would you rather the Blue Jays sign Springer or trade for Lindor and sign him?
Trade for Lindor.
Yeah, me too.
I'm all in on that.
Yeah, that I not don't think
they're a better defensive team.
You know, let me ask you. You know,
putting Bo at second.
You know who would interest me is Michael Brantley.
I mean, that's obvious. But you're
would you rather him than Springer?
Who's he playing over in the outfield?
On this team, I stick him in center field. Play over any of them.
Not playing center field. He'll play one of the corners. He'll play right or left. Probably left.
Yeah, I would take him.
So what are you doing with Gurriel? That's the question. You said you don't like the DH.
Move Teoscar to center.
I mean, you just do it against the wall there. There's not really any rhyme or reason just because he's left-handed. He can rake, which I love that.
Yeah, that would make look awfully nice. He'd look awfully nice in the line.
They got a lot of those platoon guys running through the DH spot.
That's true. I just
I'm with you. I'm not against you.
Yeah. It'd be an interesting, but yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's not going to happen. You know,
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that
Francisco Lindor is not.
The Yankees haven't won in a while. I'm gonna see. You're gonna have to compete with the Yankees.
Francisco Lindor is not coming here. He's just
sounds
not.
Good. Say it. It sounds good, Jeff. Just stop ruining it for everybody, Jeff.
Not happening.
Stop stating the obvious. Man, leave it to you just to burst everybody's bubble.
Well, I don't know.
Just don't
that.
Say it. Yeah, you just said it out loud. Way to go, Jeff.
Some of us in this room predicted the Tampa Bay Rays were going to win the World Series way back in February.
2.5 months ago.
No, I said way back in February.
We weren't even doing this show
way
in February.
Back in February. Well, it doesn't matter. I wrote it on the website. Way back in February.
Oh.
Never in doubt. Now,
Never in doubt, huh?
This is the third consecutive year I picked the Rays to win.
Yeah, I mean, sooner or later, you got to get it right. Sooner or later.
Bring in Ray's radio voice. Dave Wills joins us on Baseball Central. Dave, as always, thanks for doing this. Look, we'll talk about the Rays pitching in a minute, which, you know, I mean, there are a lot of Blue Jays fans watching this series and just kind of nodding
Groundhog
and going,
Day.
Groundhog Day is right.
Yeah.
I got to tell you this, though. How the hell does a team strike out more than twice as many times as the opposing team and still be leading a series? Two games, neither. Because, yeah, everything that I thought the Rays had to do beyond pitch well to win this series, none of the guys I thought needed to hit are hitting. Again, obviously the Rays pitching goes without saying is going to be good. But what are you seeing right now?
Are you listening to the same broadcast that you must be listening to our broadcast? Because Andy and I both walked out of here at Petco Park yesterday and said, you know what, we easily could be 0-2. Instead of 2-0. If you were to check the boxes of, who's won what battles between starting pitching, I'd have to check the box of the Astros. I think McCullers and, Fromber both pitched a little bit better than what Morton and Snell did in the first game. I think if you look at the offense, I think the Astros' offense has been a little bit better than the Rays, and yet I think the biggest differential in this game has been the defense, obviously. I mean, our baseball geometry has been spot on. We have had the right guy in the right place, and the ball has been hit to the right person at the right time, 10 times so far in this postseason. I mean, the Astros have had so much traffic on the bases, it's amazing that they haven't scored more runs than they have. And we're very fortunate to be 2-0. We've got the timely hit, obviously. We've made the pitch when we've had to. And right now, a little baseball luck. I know in hockey they call it puck luck. I think right now we got a little baseball luck going on our side. But sometimes when you're lucky and good, that's a pretty good combination.
Okay, out of the bullpen for the Rays, if they lose this guy, you got to fill in the blank for me. This guy out of the bullpen, you're going to go, uh-oh, that makes our chances of winning a World Series that much harder. One guy.
Well, I mean, it still has to be Nick Anderson. I mean, I think Nick Anderson's performance yesterday was the residue of three ups on Friday. We've never asked him to do anything close to that before. You know, I know, and anybody who follows baseball knows that, yes, when you're fatigued, you can still throw to the same MPH that you're usually at, but you lose your command, and you lose that little extra zip. And I think that was the problem with Nick yesterday. I think, obviously, the ground ball that wasn't turned into an out, that was a rocket anyway, might have affected him a little bit. But, you know, it just didn't look like he had that little extra zip that he usually has, run at the top of the zone, and then his curveball didn't have the usual bite. So Nick Anderson's still the most important guy, and maybe the guy that's emerging on the outside and making a lot of noise and movement is Diego Castillo. Diego's doing some of the things that we expected him to do, you know, the last couple of years. When he first burst onto the scene 3 years ago, we anticipated him being a back end of the bullpen kind of guy, and he's showing that here. He's been showcasing it all postseason long.
Yeah, how does Brandon Lau get back on track?
If I knew, I'd tell him. I swear. I mean, it's been really, really, it's getting to the point where it's getting kind of painful.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel bad for the guy because in talking to Kevin Cash on a daily basis like we do, I mean, we're not down in the clubhouse. We're separated from the players. But in talking to Kevin, Kevin says he's been taking it really, really hard. And, you know, he's usually a quiet guy. And I think that, you know, again, he's squeezing the sawdust out of the bat. This is a guy that's got some lightning quick hands. And, you know, he's a guy that's getting beat by the fastball, which is amazing because that was the thing that really got him going last year, was that nobody could beat him with the fastball. And then they started spinning it on him, and he made the adjustment and started hitting that, and now they're back to the fastball. And I think the problem is he's chasing that elusive fastball that's like two baseballs on top of the zone. And it looks like it's one of those pitches that he's going to be able to get on top of, and he just cannot get to it. So, you know, and then we also see him where he's taking strikes and swinging at balls. So that's a bad combination last time I checked. But, you know, if he gets going, he's one of those guys that can go like a Randy Rosarena, who can get you four or five home runs in a week. And then next thing you know, you forget about the 1-for-25 and the 0-for-18 for a series.
Okay, this is where Kevin Cash, for me, would go, okay, call him in a room and say, "This, I'll give you an option. How about I not play you one day or I move you down in the order? Which one do you want to do? Which one do you think he'd pick?"
Ooh, I think he wants to play, and I think he wants him to play, so I think he'd move him down in the order simply because, too, Brandon Lau, while he might be scuffling offensively, has made some great defensive plays for us,
yeah.
Turning some double plays. He's turned into a plus second baseman defensively. So the Rays are built around run prevention. I'm not telling you guys any secrets. And so, yes, anything he – you know, I'm not saying that what he gives us is a bonus offensively because we really do depend on him to help kick the offense into another gear, him and Austin Meadows, who have been, you know, both kind of very, very inconsistent, to say the least, here all season long. But, you know, to go out there and play the second base that he's been playing, to turn the double plays, to be in the right spot at the right time, I think Kevin still wants to keep his glove out there at second base. So if it came down to it, he might move him down to the number six spot or something just to take a little pressure off. But, again, you guys know, you know, you can try and hide a guy somewhere in the lineup and the baseball gods are going to find you no matter where you're at. And you're going to have the same situation whether you're batting in the second spot, the sixth spot, or the eighth spot. Yeah.
Conversation with Dave Wills on Baseball Central. Ryan Yarbrough will go tonight. We are kind of used to seeing him, you know, at times coming in after an opener in the bulk role. How does Kevin Cash manage him tonight, do you think? Is he just like another starter and, you know, third time through you start wondering if you're going to make a move? Or how do you see Kevin handling this? Because if he gives them, I'm just saying the obvious here, but my goodness, if he gives them five innings tonight, that sets things up for that bullpen, and that leaves just about everybody nice and on track for seven games in 7 days, right?
I think it's a combo of two things. I think Ryan, you know, you look back at his appearance against the Yankees when he came in after Ryan Thompson, he went five innings and gave up two runs, and we said on the broadcast that if I would have told you before the game that Ryan Yarbrough throwing 84 to 87 miles an hour would hold down this Yankee offense to two runs over five innings, how many people would raise your hand and say, I'll take it? And, you know, if he does that with Houston today, I'd be ecstatic. But he's also been a guy who can go a little bit deeper than that. He can be pitch efficient. He's got to be, as we like to say, he's got to be slippery. He's not a very, very hard thrower, but he's a little sneaky fast because of his delivery. He's got to crisscross the plate. He's got to really come inside on these Astros hitters, and that cutter is going to come into play today. If he is able to start it over the middle part of the plate and then cut it in on their hands, he's going to be in good shape. And then if you can get them to kind of look for that cutter and mix in the changeup over the outside part of the plate, he'll be in even in better shape. But, yeah, I mean, I think actually Kevin is maybe even looking for a little more. You know, he's the only guy who went deeper into games a couple of times this year was Tyler Glasnow. You know, again, Yarbs is a guy who can get us into the sixth inning. And any inning more than five right now after what Charlie and Snell did in the first two games would be a bonus. And this offense just has to start helping out. I mean, we cannot play every single game where you're only scoring two or three runs and expect to win against the likes of the – well, even going back to the Blue Jays, going back to these teams that don't strike out much, that put the ball in play, you're asking for trouble. I mean, yesterday the Astros hit so many balls hard. We were fortunate enough to come away with the win. But our offense has to start to wake up and provide some runs and maybe give Yarbs and the rest of the team a little breathing room so we can stay away again from the A bullpen maybe for another day.
Dave, really good of you to join us today. Thanks so much.
Great stuff. Thank you.
Anytime, guys.
Stay safe,
my friend. Thanks for having me.
Be well. Thanks. That's Dave Wills. He is the Rays radio voice, one of the really good folks in the game. And, the Houston Astros don't strike out a ton. And that's kind of their MO. But if you look at the numbers through two games in this series now, I just did the quick math here. This is through two games. Okay. Game one, the Rays struck out 13 times. The Astros struck out 5. Game two, Rays struck out 13 times. The Astros struck out 8. So 26-13, 2 times.
Yeah.
As often. But I think what Dave said is right. They've made the plays. This is like we fixate on pitching, understandably. We talk about hitting, but when I look at this Rays team, it is remarkable how many times guys don't have to move to make a catch of a ball hit on the screws.
Yeah, that defender right behind the second base bag. Yeah. That's the one play. I've told you that.
Yeah.
That shift. I tell you what, Jeff.
No, but
like that is where
yeah. But
putting the guy behind second base and they're standing right there.
But everybody shifts.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, but that's what the Rays do.
I wonder if maybe what the Rays aren't really good at is and you'd probably need to talk to one of their opponents. I wonder if their pitching and defense isn't so in sync. Because, you know, a lot of times teams will shift and then you'll see a pitcher throw a pitch. You'll go, but that, you know, it's not, if you're going to go in the shift and pitch so that the guy hits the ball in the shift. It's remarkable how many times the team goes in a shift and you look at the pitcher, you go, why are you throwing that pitch? It seems to me the Rays more than any other team pitch into the shift.
Yeah.
I don't know if you notice that, but it seemed, and it doesn't matter who it is. It can be Blake Snell. It can be Charlie Morton. It can be slop-tossing Ryan Yarbrough. Mm-hmm. They will pitch to maximize the shift.
It makes sense. That's why you play the shift, right? Is to get them to hit it where they're standing. The Rays do it better than anybody. I think a lot of their hard throwers out of the bullpen that I've noticed are up-and-down guys. You know, that they That's pitch up and down. Yeah. They throw fastballs in the big part of the plate. They're not picking. You know, they're hard throwers. Like, why would you pick at it? Why wouldn't you, you see Zunino a lot. He'll give the target on a breaking ball up because that's where they want to start. He'll give the fastball target up because he wants two pitches coming out of the same plane. One starts there, drops.
Yeah.
One starts there, stays there.
It's interesting, what right? Because so do? Much focus is inside, outside,
exactly
and up and
what
down.
It is. So, it's you know, and I saw, too, the Astros hit 25 balls hard and had 9 hits.
Yeah.
You know, that may be a little karma. I don't know if I believe in karma or not when it comes to baseball, but with what the Astros have been through, it'd make you think a little.
All these balls
that are being hit hard and they aren't getting hits on.
How about Alex Bregman here, right? Alex Bregman has this breakdown. This is courtesy of MLB.com. And he doesn't have a hit yet in the ALCS, right?
Yeah.
He has hit. I mean, against Charlie Morton, he lined out on 106 mile an hour. This is exit velocity. He hit a 99 mile an hour ground out. He hit another 103 mile an hour ground out. He did that twice.
Yeah.
And then a 98.4 mile per hour line out against Nick Anderson.
See, that's sometimes wow. Why I think those don't always add up, because what I see is late. The ball he hit with the bases loaded last night in the ninth inning, he's late. That's a fastball outer third, a little bit up, that's straight, that he should be hitting real hard. He's late. The ball's on the ground you're talking about, he's late. He's out and around a little bit. He's barreling it up, but he's late. Talk about that with Vladdy all the time. It's just a quicker out. That's all it is. If he's short and quick to the baseball and barreling those up, short and quick, those are finding holes because they create backspin. He is just out and around. He's late. Like, that's why sometimes those numbers, you can look at those, the five balls that are above 100. That
would just indicate to me dude's really strong and got a good swing. It doesn't mean it was a great.
Yeah, you know, it's he has good hand-eye coordination skills. We can watch him. He is out and around the baseball. That's why it's, you know.
Very weird, because we talked about how, or in the past, not so much now, but people always used to talk about, well, you guys are too focused on the velocity. You know, everybody thinks that just because you can throw 100, you could be successful. It's about pitching, et cetera, et cetera. I almost wonder if maybe we're not getting a little too focused on velocity now with hits. He scalded that ball.
Yeah,
but so what? If it's a one-hopper to the third baseman, I don't care if it's 104 or 94.
You know what? You know what velocity does to hitters? It's eliminated direction of where I want to hit the baseball. It's like runner on first. You hit behind the runner. Can't do that anymore. You can't guide a baseball where you want it to go now. Now you're just trying to be short and quick with your lower half and drive the steering wheel. Your bottom hand is your steering wheel to the baseball. Quicker I get it to the ball, the more chance I got of hitting it hard. Where it goes, I really have no control over that. I'm not trying to situational hit, runner on second. I'm trying to get him over. Guys throw too hard. Secondary
guys are throwing 100, 101.
That's
you're not
going to
hit behind the runner.
It's eliminated direction.
That's a great point.
That's exactly what it's done.
590-590 is the text line. It is Baseball Central. The text line is active. It is humming. Well, I don't know if it's humming. It's active. What time is as tight as Walker Buehler's pants? But we'll get to it. I swear to God, that's the last time I try to squeeze anything anymore. Anything more into Walker Buehler's pants. I swear to God, it's the last time. It's Baseball Central and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We've already mentioned that Clayton Kershaw has been scratched from tonight's game. The Atlanta Braves have put Johan Camargo, their utility player, infielder, on their roster to replace Adam Duvall. If you watched last night's game, Duvall, I mean, you could tell as soon as he swung the bat, it was an oblique injury, and just his first reaction to grab his back, it was painful. So he is out. That means that he will be out for the World Series as well, should the Braves advance, because if you're taken off the roster for a health concern in this series, you're off for the World Series. I mean, an oblique injury, you ain't going to be back in time for the World Series. That's too bad, though, because, you know, early in the postseason, when we were talking about the different teams and we were talking about players that we maybe keep an eye on, you actually pointed out Adam Duvall as a guy.
He can hit a home run off a lefty.
Yeah. So he is toast for the rest of the postseason. We mentioned 590 is a text line. So Trevor Bauer is basically trolling the entire baseball world, right? He's saying,
please let me come play.
Please let me come play for your team. Oh, weather in California is awfully nice. I wouldn't mind. Oh, D.C. I could go and visit all those national monuments all the time. New York, always loved New York. Pittsburgh, hey, my dad was a steel worker. Did I ever tell you that? I mean, he's basically trolling every team.
He ain't going to Pittsburgh.
You know what I'm saying. He's trolling every team Jesus, don't be a jackass. He's trolling every team in baseball. And now including the Blue Jays. Somebody reached out to him and said, hey, why don't you come to Canada? He said, do you think that would work? Now, there are people out there who are going to immediately roll their eyes and think Trevor Bauer been a bit of a bully on social media at times, bit of a Trump supporter at times. Of course, he was the guy here in Toronto who was flipping the bird to Blue Jays fans. But Randall Grichuk chimed in on Twitter and said, dude, come on up north. You'd be a hit up here. Oh, Trevor Bauer. We've talked about this. Trevor Bauer is what every major league team needs. I will tell you this, though. I really believe that the problem teams are going to have with Trevor Bauer, first, don't pay no attention to the he's interested in a one-year contract. If you give him 3 years at $40 million a year.
I'm good. I want a year.
Yeah. No, I don't want that. I want a year. I want a year in 20. I want a year in 20. I don't want more. If the Dodgers go out of the playoffs, the Dodgers and Yankees are both going to be hankering for another starting pitcher next year. So, folks, what I'm saying is Trevor Bauer is going to be a Dodger or a Yankee next year. So let's just eliminate that from the consideration.
We didn't think Ryu was going to come here either.
That's different. That's different because he was not the best free agent pitcher on the market. He fell to the Blue Jays. Trevor Bauer is the best free agent pitcher on the market.
Mm.
And also, I mean, Hyunjin Ryu ain't Trevor Bauer. Hyunjin Ryu is a slow, you know, slow tossing lefty.
I gotcha.
Trevor Bauer is going to bring the heat. Anyhow, so I just figured I would throw that out there because there are going to be people and you know, and the whole political thing, folks. I hate to tell you this, and if you listen to this show, you kind of know where I stand politically. But I got to tell you this: if we're not going to sign a player or not get players in Toronto unless they vote Democrat, I got to tell you, you're going to have a hell of a hard time fielding a baseball team next year because this is a little secret here. There's probably two guys in the Blue Jays who voted for Trump. I'm just saying. It's possible.
Hmm.
Just throwing that out there because I know that that's going to be a thing. And I mean, if you're comfortable with it, that's fine. But, man, I'm not going to demand that people tell me who the hell they vote for before I bring them into Toronto.
Hmm.
Just, that's something that's kind of stuck with me. David of the Six. He guesses that the tight pants dude that I was talking about is Darren Fletcher. You would be wrong. If you knew Darren Fletcher, Darren Fletcher's not going to ask anybody to look at his ass. Trust me. So you're wrong about that.
Oh, what?
Well, it's true. Darren Fletcher. Anyhow.
You going to tell us who it is or are you just going to keep us on the edge of our seats?
Not. David of the Six says, eventually there'll be a team that will lean towards stacking their lineups with 300 hitting speedsters. Well, I guess. He says, I look forward to it. Pure outcomes ball is snore inducing. This is what you got. So pure out, you know, people talk about pure outcomes. Walk, home run, strikeout. That's all you see in baseball.
Pitching is way better than hitting. They figured out ways to get you out. And again, I talked about this with the shift. When you see that many people on the side of the field that you're used to hitting on, and you have really super hard throwers who've eliminated direction, this is what you're getting. You're trying to find a pitch that you can elevate. That takes time.
I had not thought of that. I had not thought of eliminating direction, but it's true. Guys now just want to make contact.
How can I hit a ball that's thrown that hard where I want to? You don't know anybody that can do that. Mike Trout can't do that. Sorry. I've watched Mike Trout hit how many times? I couldn't count on how many fingers.
The only thing I will say is you can see guys. Well, no, that's not true. I was going to say.
He tries to hit the ball hard. Yeah. It goes where it goes.
No, I was not talking about Trout, but I was thinking that, you know, you look at sacrifice flies and all that. But, guy, I mean, the guys are just, even when you hit a sacrifice fly, all that is a home run that fell short for the most part, right?
Yeah, that sacrifice fly sometimes is I'm trying to get it out front with a little loop in my swing.
Yeah.
Maybe something spinning. So I may early in the count look for something spinning that I can get the barrel out in front of the plate with a little loop in it to elevate it. That's
all right. We got like 3.5 minutes left. We mentioned the Braves and Dodgers. That game will start at 6. The Rays and the Astros, that game will start at 9. 8:39, someplace in that range. So, Kevin, you're the Astros. You aren't striking out. You hit a ton of balls on the screws.
Yeah.
And the Rays are just basically catching everything, every ball in play they're catching. What do you do? You're Dusty Baker or their hitting coach. What are you telling them? You're down 2-0. Especially a guy like Bregman. Guys have been making contact. What do you tell these guys tonight? And tonight you're seeing Ryan Yarbrough. You're not going to see 99 or 97 or 101 tonight.
You see some slow stuff that's located with movement. That's a little bit tougher sometimes than the harder ones. Look, you don't change anything. Again, you just try and stay within yourself. You try and stay in the big part of the field. You try and get a hit when it matters. Again, these stringing together hits probably is not going to work. These guys can pitch it. They can throw it where they want to throw it a lot of the time. So it's more of I try and be as quiet as I can. I stay within myself. I stay in the big part of the field. And I try and bear down with two strikes. Compete with two strikes. You do that. Again, Altuve's, Brantley's, Bregman's, Correa's, Tucker, Gurriel. You know, Yuli Gurriel's been struggling, but, you know, hopefully he can get a breaking ball out over the plate and hit a ball hard. That's all you can do. You run out your best lineup every single day, and you let it fall where it falls.
And Brandon Lau, what do you do with him? If what are you saying to him if you're Chad Matola or you're Kevin Cash?
I'm up to nothing. I don't play him. That's just me.
Really?
I give him a day off. He looks lost.
Okay.
There's a difference in getting out and looking lost. He's lost. So what's he bringing to you? Defensively? Okay, I can find anybody to catch a ground ball.
That's fair. No, I would.
The way the Rays put their defense and put guys in the right spot, it's not like, you know, moving side to side is a big deal. No, just catch the ball right at you. If you can't catch the ball right at you, you shouldn't be in the big leagues anyway. It's that thing. But hitting him second and third in your order?
I was going to say my approach would be.
What's moving him down? Moving him down only tells everybody else that you think he's bad.
Yeah, that's
and that's
true.
Not going to change the that's fact true. That he's swinging at a ball for a breaking ball and doesn't like the fastball up. That doesn't change the
doesn't,
fact that he can't
doesn't
do that.
Give him a day
that
off,
has
anything.
Nothing to do with it.
Yeah, if anything,
maybe having him walk away for a day, telling him to do nothing. You're up to nothing. Huh? It's the Rays' way. They pitch well. They're going to keep you in the game. You're winning all these games without him.
I just wondered about that. I wondered about what you would do with Brandon Lau.
But I'm not in the clubhouse. I don't know the feel of the room.
Yeah.
It's where Kevin Cash earns his money a little.
The Rays can go up 3-0 tonight. Nah, they will go up 3-0. It's in the bank. They're going to sweep. They're going to boat race the Astros and the Dodgers and Braves tonight as well. Mr. Barker, we'll be back to talk about how right I was tomorrow. Hopefully everybody wears the right pants tonight.
Look at my blister.
Look at your blister. Yeah, I can see. It's a big-ass blister in that finger. Writer's Block with Brunt is next. Don't go anywhere.